good to be with the folks here in New Cumnock again. When I was preparing to come here this afternoon, I was reading in a book a story of an evangelist who was used to preaching to large companies of people back in the 19th century. Just before he went onto the platform, somebody handed him a note. And he opened the note on the platform and he told the people that this note contained one word. And the word was fool. Fool. He said that he had received letters sometimes when the person had forgotten to sign the letter. But this was the first time that he had ever received a letter where someone had signed it, but had never actually written a letter. There are many people who think that those who believe the gospel are fools. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But you know, the wisest thing that you could do tonight would be to come to God and to come to His Son in faith and in belief and trust God's Son for salvation. The wisest thing you could do tonight, if you are a Christian, would be to get baptized by immersion. And if you have experienced that, these two things, then the best thing you could do after that would indeed to join a Bible-believing, Christ-preaching church like this one. Now we're going to read tonight in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read together the Lord's Prayer. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 says this: these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So these words carry the utmost authority and weight. And said Jesus to His disciples in Matthew 6 and verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or our sins, as we forgive them that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of His Word. My first recollection of this prayer was as a boy at junior school, and it was the practice in those days that at the beginning of every class, every morning, the teacher would stand in front of us, we would all stand and we would clasp our hands, we bowed our heads and closed our eyes, and we all recited this prayer. That's what happened every morning. When I was at school, I understand that that practice has been discontinued in the majority of places. Looking back on it, I often wonder what the children knew of what it was that they were saying. I often wonder whether the teacher herself understood the meaning of the words in this prayer. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. What does this prayer mean? It starts off with Our Father. And of course, the first question we could ask ourselves tonight is this: who can call God Father? Who are qualified to call God Father? When you call God Father, it means that you have a relationship with that person. A relationship. It means that you belong to that man's family. And that's true in human terms, in everyday life. Well, what does it mean here then? Who can call God their Father? Can everyone call Him a Father? Is God the Father of everybody automatically? The Bible doesn't teach that God is the Father of everybody automatically. No, indeed, the very opposite of that. Who is it that can call God Father? Well, only those who have a relationship with God. Only those who have come to know God as their father. Only those who are born into the family of God can know him as father. When a child calls someone their father, a child has no fear to meet their father. I wonder, my dear friends, if you were to meet God tonight, would you have any fear? If you had to meet God tonight, if you died tonight, then would you know God as your Heavenly Father? One of the Old Testament prophets used to preach, "Prepare to meet thy God." Now, if God was automatically the Father of everyone, then there would be no need to prepare to meet him, would there? But sadly, God is not the Father of everyone. How could, I ask you tonight, how could, for example, the swearer call God their father? How could the liar call God their father? How could someone who was a cheat ever call God their father? Well, of course, that's absolutely impossible, isn't it? That alone would show us that God isn't the father of all people, of all men and women automatically. How can we know God as our Father then tonight? Well, the Bible says this: to as many as received Christ, God gives them the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. You must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to know God as your Father. I wonder if there's someone here, and you've never thought of this. Maybe you've said this prayer. You've maybe heard this prayer recited at weddings, as it sometimes is. You maybe heard it quoted at funerals, as it sometimes is. I've heard of people who found themselves in terrible distress, maybe in times of war. Maybe they found themselves in the trenches in a battlefield, or some terrible disaster overtook them. And in sheer desperation, they quoted this prayer. And I often wonder if they really realized what it was that they were praying. I wonder, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because God wants you to become a member of his family. He wants you to become a son or a daughter of his by faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And so, not everyone can call God Father. The second phrase of the prayer says, "Hallowed be thy name." Now, what does hallowed mean? Sometimes we speak of hallowed ground when we think of burial ground or something like that. The word hallowed means holy. It means to hold sacred, to sanctify, to make holy. And so, when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," I wonder if everyone who prays that, are they living lives that are bringing glory to God? Because that's what they're saying. How can people who take God's name in vain, for example, ever call God their Father or pray, "Hallowed be thy name," when they're taking the name of God in vain? You know, this is a sin, my dear friend, that's exceptionally common. Almost every other day, I hear people using the expression, "Oh my God." Now, they're not using it in a Christian sense or a religious sense. They're using it, it's a swear word. They're taking the name of God or the name of Christ in vain. Now, they may not realize it. I remember my late mother saying to a neighbor to whom she was speaking, and the woman took God's name in vain. And my mother rebuked her for doing that. And her glib reply was, "Oh, I must be thinking of him all the time then." Well, of course, she wasn't thinking of God all the time. Anything but. The Bible says, God himself says, that he will not hold them guiltless that takes his name in vain. And it's a serious thing to be calling on the name of God or the name of Christ when you don't mean it. so then? Do you glorify God by the things that you say? Can you honestly, my dear friends, say tonight that you bring glory to God by the kind of life that you're living? God's name is holy. But you see, you and I are unholy, says the Bible. We're unholy. We're not like God. The fact of the matter is that, sadly, we're in our sins. And we need to come to know God as our Father. We need to repent of our sins. We need to place faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before we can know God as Father. You see, when someone calls someone else their father, what they're saying is that they're in that man's family, but what they're saying is this, that they have a relationship with that man. A relationship, what they're saying is that they're a blood relation. Now, that's true in the spiritual realm. Before we can know God as Father, then we must come and trust in Christ who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary in order that we might be born into the family of God. We must be born into his family, the family of God. We must come by faith and receive the new birth and receive new life in order to be a child of God. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you've said this prayer, and yet God isn't your Father, and Christ isn't your Savior, and you don't have a real relationship with God, a personal relationship with God and with his Son. It's so vitally important tonight that we have this relationship. God is not some kind of supreme being. Many people think of God as a supreme being. No, he's far more than a supreme being. God is a personal God because he is a real person. And he wants to have a relationship with you tonight, my dear man, my dear woman, my dear young person. God wants you and me. The prayer goes on speaking of thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. You see, God has a kingdom. God is in heaven, our Father which art in heaven. And heaven is in direct contrast to this world, to this earth. The Bible speaks of people who are earth dwellers. Now that doesn't just mean that they live on the earth, because everybody lives on the earth. But when the Bible speaks of an earth dweller, it means people who are wholly and exclusively taken up with the things of this earth and the things of this world. And there are those, my dear friends, tonight, and they're completely taken up with everyday things. They're taken up with building their own little kingdom. And that's as far as their vision goes. Their vision never goes above this earth. They never lift their eyes to really think about a God in heaven who's watching them and who knows all about them and who loves them so much that he sent his Son into the world to die for them. Is it possible tonight that you are building your own little kingdom? Yes, God is king. Is he king of your life? Or are you the king of your life? Do you think you're the master of your own bark? Do you realize, my dear friends, tonight you're responsible to somebody else? You're responsible to God. Yes. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. Are you really taken up tonight with the kingdom of God? Have you entered the kingdom of God by faith, my dear friends? You know, the Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. The Bible talks about seeing the kingdom of God. Except you repent, says the Lord Jesus. Listen to these words. Except you repent, he says, you will never see the kingdom of God. except you repent, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. You see, when a person comes in faith and in belief to God's Son, then they see the kingdom of God. They see things they've never seen before. They see truths they've never seen before. They see a salvation that they've never seen before. Oh yes, my friends, I want to tell you tonight, if you come in faith to God, if you come with repentance and trust God's Son, you'll see things in a different light. You will. You'll see yourself in a different light. You'll see God in a different light. You'll see the Bible in a different light. The kingdom of God. God is King. God is King. And one day he's going to come in the person of his Son, and he's going to establish his kingdom down here in this world. But if you ever want to be part of that kingdom, then you'll have to know what it is to trust God's Son by faith. Yes. Our Father which art in heaven, heaven in contradistinction to earth, but heaven is in contradistinction to hell. To hell. You know, I want to say to you tonight, my dear friends, that, oh, it really pains me to mention hell. When I think of that awful place that millions have gone to because they refused to know God as their Father, because they refused to know Christ as their Savior. When I think of that awful place, it makes me shudder. And if you really knew what it was like to be shut out from God forever, then you'd think twice before you said this prayer. Yes, God is in heaven, but fortunately you're still down here on earth. Thy will be done, says the prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is God's will then for this earth? You know, a lot of people say, why doesn't God stop all the tragedies that are happening on the earth? If everything's so wonderful in heaven, then why doesn't God make everything wonderful down here? Does God not care about His will being done on earth? Well, let's forget about the earth in general. Let's forget about the earth and society in general. Let's think of you in particular. Would you not like to pray, Thy will be done in my life? Oh, it's easy. It's easy to think about God's will in general. And what about the suffering and the pain and the illness and the death and the hurt that's in this world? But what about you as an individual? Would you not let God do His will in your life? You won't be asked at the judgment day. You won't be asked indeed to answer for anybody else or to answer for the ills of this world. You'll only be called to answer for yourself. Oh, I would plead with you tonight to open your heart, my dear friends, and ask that God's will might be done in your life. What is His will? Well, the Bible says, this is His command, this is His will, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Believe on the name of His Son. I want to ask you, have you ever believed? Have you ever believed? The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, when we believe, we give ourselves over wholeheartedly to God, our life, our whole being. You know, to trust in God
is quite simple.
Because we trust people in everyday life. You trust people you work with. You trust people in business. Every time you go on a bus or a train or a taxi or whatever, you trust the person who's driving it. You just hand yourself over to them, don't you? That's what God wants you to do with relation to Him. He wants you to hand yourself over, body, soul, and spirit, and say, God, just take me as I am. Lord, Thy will be done in my life. Are you prepared to do that tonight? You see, so many people live their lives doing their own will. Doing their own will. People talk about, I did it my way, in the words of the song that Frank Sinatra popularized. I did it my way. No, my dear friend, you can't get to heaven your way. You can't get to heaven anybody's way. You must come God's way. You must come God's way. Teach me to do Thy will, said the psalmist, for Thou art my God. The Apostle Paul said on the Damascus Road, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And the answer is, this is the prayer, you see, of holy submission. God wants you just to submit your life to Him, to trust Him. You see, we can't trust the politicians. We can't trust political parties. We can't trust our friends. How often has friends let you down? We can't even trust our partners. How many partners have up sticks and left? The person that they were living with, whether it was a live-in partner or a husband or a wife. My friends, we can't even trust ourselves. Now, come on now. You know you can't trust yourself to do what's right. Oftentimes you knew what to do. You wanted to do it. But somehow or other something came in and you couldn't do it. We can't even trust ourselves. The Bible says, put not thy trust in man or in princes, the best of men, because they'll let you down. But oh, tonight, listen, there's a Savior who'll never let you down. Oh yes, there's not a man or a woman in this building tonight that's never been let down. They've never let themselves down. Ah, there is one who'll never let you down. Why don't you come to Him tonight? In simple, trusting faith, and ask Him to forgive your sins. This is really the prayer of holy submission, Thy will be done. My dear friends tonight, how can people pray, Thy will be done, when they have absolutely no desire whatsoever to do the will of God, when they never give God a thought, when they're living without Him? Are you not tired of the life that you're living? Have you not had enough disappointments? There's an old hymn that says, He is not a disappointment. Imagine if I could introduce you to someone and I told you, this person will never, ever let you down under any circumstance. You'd want to know that person, wouldn't you? You'd want to shake them by the hand. You'd want to fellowship with them. You'd want to get to know them. There is one. There is one. He'll never let you down. Because He'll save you. He loves you. You know, love is something, my dear friends. Hollywood has taken this word love and they've translated it into lust. They've robbed it of its true meaning. And there's little love in the world tonight. Yes. But God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Not with a human love. With a love that I can't explain. With a love that no one could ever describe. Thy will be done. The prayer goes on. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, we're totally dependent upon food to live, aren't we? If we didn't eat food, then we would die. The food here is spiritual food. The food here, my dear friends, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said when He was here, I am the bread of God. You see, you're more than a body. You're more than a body and a mind. You've got a soul and a spirit. And you require physical, spiritual food just as much as you require physical food. Spiritual food. Christ is the bread of life. We must come to Him. We must come to Him for new life. For new life. Life in Christ. The Lord Jesus said this. Listen to these words. These are remarkable words. The Lord Jesus said this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said that a person's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And in this materialist world, in this humanist world, men and women are depending upon themselves and upon this world. And yet you know that the resources of this world are dwindling. That's what the scientists are worried about. The resources of the world are dwindling. But there's a spiritual resource, my dear friends, tonight that can meet your spiritual need. And these resources in Christ are never dwindling. Never dwindling. Millions have come to the cross of Jesus Christ for salvation and for forgiveness. There's room for millions more. Yes, room for millions more. There's no lack. There's no lack with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah yes, there are people that are starving tonight. There are people in our own country, never mind third world countries, people living in cardboard boxes, people living on embankments, people with no food in their belly, no food in their house. I want to tell you, my dear friends, terrible as that is, there's an even greater need. And it's a spiritual need. And you've got that spiritual need. Every last one of us have got it. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can meet that need. Can meet that need. If proof was needed indeed that politicians can't feed the world, despite their conference in Perth about a year or 2 years ago, we've still got the poverty that the government said they would eradicate. Why? Because Jesus said, the poor you will have always with you. But there's another kind of poverty. Listen to me. There's another kind of poverty. The spiritual poverty. And we're sitting here in this building tonight, and we're in spiritual poverty. And we can't meet our spiritual needs. We can't meet the world's natural needs. Never mind our spiritual needs. But there's one who can. There's one who can, and he died on the cross at Calvary. And he wants you to feed on him tonight. He wants you to feed on him tonight. Yes, Christ is the answer to our every need, to our every need. The prayer goes on, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. What's this? How can people pray, forgive us our sins, when they're not prepared to admit they're sinners? Oh, there's plenty of people tonight will say, well, I've never done anybody any harm. I've never done any wrong. My dear friends, the devil's greatest ploy is to tell people they don't need God, that they don't need forgiveness. That Jack is as good as his master. That they'll make it in the end. When we were giving out tracts at the beginning of the mission here, there was a man said to one of the helpers, listen to this, I'll take my chance. I'll take my chance. The gospel, my dear friend, is not a game of chance. Bingo's a chance. Gambling's a game of chance. Even Ludo's a game of chance. Oh, this is not chance, my dear friends. This is not chance. This is not luck. Oh, I pity the man or woman who thinks they're going to stand before the judgment seat of God and take their chance. You're getting your chance now. You're getting your opportunity now. Forgive us our sins. Oh, here's pardon from God. Pardon from God. This is an amazing thing. How can people pray about pardon from God when they're not prepared to admit their need? You see, we're sinners needing pardon. You know, on Calvary's cross, Jesus paid in blood what we cannot pay. We cannot pay for our sins. The Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross, my dear friends, that everyone, if they will believe, if they will believe, will go to heaven. God does not will the death of any. It's God's will that all should be saved, but all sadly are not saved. And all are not going to be saved just because they didn't want it. They thought they would take the chance. Lead us not, let us not be led into temptation, says the prayer, but deliver us from evil. How can people pray, let us not be led into temptation, when they spend their lives, I tell you, running after temptation? When they spend their lives seeking out temptation, when they go to places of temptation. I tell you, this world is running after temptation. Ah, yes, you needn't bother saying to God, don't let me led into temptation, but deliver me. When you know the things that tempt you, and you run after them. But deliver us from evil. Is this your cry? Deliver me. Deliver me, Lord. Save me, Lord. The man on the cross, one of the thieves on the cross, only one of them, mind you, only one of them, cried, Lord, remember thee. Remember. Two people in identical circumstances, only one got saved. Only one. People sit in meetings like this, and perhaps they've been brought up together. Maybe they're mates. They've been pals all their days. One trusts Christ, the other doesn't. A man trusts Christ, but his partner doesn't, or vice versa. Oh, yes, the cry, deliver us from evil. Is this your cry tonight? Oh, Christ delivers. He delivers us from our sins. He delivers the swearer from any more curses. He delivers the liar from his lies. He delivers the cheat from any more crooked deals. He can deliver the drug addict from the drugs. He can deliver the alcoholic from the alcohol. I've been reading just this week a book of a man who works out in Peru amongst teenage girls who've fallen into drugs and prostitution. And I was amazed to read some of them have left home as young as 6 years of age to live in the streets. As young as six. Oh yes, it's easy to see at them that they need deliverance. My dear friends, you need deliverance. You see, none are too bad, but none are too good. Oh yes, it's easy to look down our nose and say, oh, I wouldn't live like that. I wouldn't do what she does or what he does for that family up the street. Ah, you see, that's the hypocrite. That's the hypocrite. People say, oh, I don't go to church. Too many hypocrites in the church. Yes, there are hypocrites in the church. You surprised at me saying that? There are hypocrites where you work. That doesn't stop you going to work. Hypocrites in your football team. That doesn't stop you watching your favourite team. There are hypocrites in the the film star entertainment world. That doesn't stop you following them. Look into the mirror. You put your best foot forward from time to time, don't you? You put a face on it from time to time, don't you? What's that? That's being a hypocrite. And you see, we're all hypocrites. We're all pretending. We're all pretending. Pretending that we're not as bad as people think we are. We can't pretend to God. Or we can't kid God. We can't kid God, my dear friends. God knows us. God knows us. For thine is the kingdom, as we come to the close, thine is the kingdom. Not mine. Not my little kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. The power. Oh, you need God's power to change you. We can't change ourselves. We've tried. You've tried, haven't you? We can't change ourselves. Only the dynamic power of God. The power that was released at the resurrection when Jesus Christ died and went down into hell and He bound the captives and He smashed the power of the devil and He rose from the grave. Mighty triumphant. And since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there has been terrific power has entered into the world. And that power is available for every man and every woman tonight outside of hell. The power of God to deliver. And He can deliver you. That power is here tonight. The power of the Holy Spirit is present tonight to save and to lift and to deliver. And the glory of God. Oh, my dear friends, if you get saved tonight, the glory of God will fill your heart. It'll fill your soul. It'll fill your life. It'll change you from the inside out. You'll be a new man and a new woman. The kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Forever. Here's the finality of it. Salvation's forever. Heaven is forever. But hell is forever. As well. My dear friends, amen. Finishes. That's the title of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever said this prayer? Have you been saying this prayer? And you have absolutely no claim on Christ because you haven't meant a word of it. Then your life has been a lie. Your life has been a lie. How awful has this prayer been abused? Talking to God as Father when He's not. Indeed, He will be your judge someday. Asking God to save you from temptation when you've been running after temptation. My dear friends, there was a prayer that was made in America. Britons used to, I don't know whether they still do, I think in the Parliament in England, they open it, the Parliament with prayer. As far as I understand, they don't open the Scottish Parliament with prayer. But they open the Parliament in America in prayer. And as I close, I want to read you, and there's always someone invited, a minister or a preacher invited. And there was a Mr. Wright of the Central Christian Church of Kansas was asked to open with prayer a new session of the State Senate. I want you to listen tonight, in these last few minutes. This is what he got up and said. This was his prayer. Heavenly Father, he says, we come before you today to ask you for your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. He said, we know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But that is exactly what we've done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. This is his prayer to the Senate. We confess, he says, we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it a lottery. We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We've killed unborn children and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We've coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Is this prayer? And a number of legislators walked out in protest, but in 6 weeks that Mr. Wright received letters from more than 5,000 supporters expressing their support, while 47 people disapproved. That could be your prayer tonight, because you're somewhere in it. And as we close now, we're going to pray together. We're going to pray to God now to ask us to forgive us for all our sins and all our iniquities. We're going to ask Him to forgive us for living without Him. As we pray, I want to ask you to come to Christ, my dear friends, tonight, if you've never done it before. I want you to come in your spirit. I want you to come in your heart. I want you to mean it. And don't pray this prayer if you don't mean it. God's wanting genuine repentance with tears. Let us quieten our hearts now and come to God and ask Him for His grace, His mercy. Our Father, we recognize indeed that we have prayed this prayer so often and we have never meant a single word of it. We have blasphemed Thy name, taken it in vain. We have lived our lives without You. We have despised the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed and we have never given it a second thought. And as we come tonight, Father, we ask indeed that You will forgive us our sins. We ask indeed that we might be found trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We come now and ask for Your forgiveness. We come now and ask for Thy blessing, for Thy eternal salvation. Give us it, we pray. Bring to us the Christ as the bread of life tonight. Let us feed upon Him for salvation, for spiritual sustenance and blessing. And so we come in all our need, confessing our need, for we ask these things in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. May God bless you tonight, and if there's someone here and you want to speak to us about anything we've said, we're your servants for Christ's sake.